What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. Download the Odyssey app if you haven't already. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. Thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, September 23rd, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Johnny Cakes Auville's here.
What's up, Rickies? Good morning, all.
And look who's back. It's Eric Carlton Bickle.
What's up? Good morning. How are you guys?
What's up?
Good weekend for you guys.
Very busy weekend.
Busy weekend.
Super busy.
Busy weekend.
Just the busiest.
I know. I saw you're posting golf videos.
Yeah, I was hitting balls and during the day, and then going to the matches at night. Had some nice dinners with the girls. Had a, I'd say, a pretty successful weekend. They went 2-1. They beat Cornell women's volleyball. Beat Binghamton. Not sure. Did we sweep them? Maybe we only won in four. I'm not sure. Then we won in four against Lemoyne. That literally a match where everybody played, like every player on
the team. Right match, yeah.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. And then lost a real heartbreaker to Syracuse yesterday. Syracuse is undefeated right now. They're 12-0. Mm. They got some big girls from all over the world, and we lost 29-27 in the fourth. If it was going to go, we had a huge lead in the fourth, kind of blew it. Mm. It was going to go to the five sets, and we were going to win that sucker. It just kind of fell apart. But overall, great weekend. Lot of traveling. Oh, my God. I mean, just back and forth, back and forth. Didn't get back last night till 11. I got a nail in my tire again.
Oh, jeez. I despise the low tire warning.
It's such a pain.
Because I know it's always a nail.
It's always a nail or glass or something. And I was driving around, you know, college, you know, these hell holes that these kids live in, in their driveways. And, I don't know if it's a nail. It could be glass. You know what I mean? It could be anything. You know, my daughter lives in a house with 14 people.
Right.
And wow. It's a long driveway. And, you know, who knows? It could be needles. I mean, it could be anything.
Yeah.
You have no idea what it could be. And I had to monitor it the whole drive back. It was down to 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be 42.
That's not great.
I pumped it up to 44. And by the time I got home, I couldn't believe it. It held steady at 40. So
you'll take that.
But today I got to go out, got to get service. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is the third time with just this car, with the X5, that I've had, like, you know, nails in a tire.
Tire's a nail magnet.
Something in the tire.
Yeah, it's never fun.
Yeah, it's like the windshield thing. It seems to happen in waves, you know, like where a rock will hit you.
Sure.
Then you get it fixed. And then 6 months later, another rock hits your windshield.
Yep. Right back at Safe Flight.
Yeah, Safe Flight Repair, Safe Flight Replace.
It's just so annoying.
It's a good
slogan. Did you drive that car today?
I drove it today. I mean, I didn't see the nail. Like I say, Jason, it could be glass, could be something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are you going to take it to get repaired even if the service station is on the wrong side of the street?
Oh, my God. I got to go to BMW because I need to get an oil change anyway.
Got it.
It kind of forces me to just knock it out.
Mm. Now, in volleyball, I was thinking about this over the weekend. They changed the rules, I don't know how many years ago, where you can get a point on their serve.
Yep. Yeah.
It used to be you could only get a point on your serve.
I mean, it's been that way for about 20 years.
Probably. Yeah. I noticed something over the weekend with soccer, and I don't know when this happened. When we were growing up, if you had a kickoff, you had to kick it forward. Mm. Now, most of the time, you would just do a tap pass to somebody, and they would pass it back to the midfielder. And at some point, they changed the rules, and they said, you know what? This is just bogus. You can just start with the backwards pass. Mm-hmm. But I don't know when that happened. Mm.
Yeah, I feel like that's happened maybe within the last 7 or 8 years. I don't know. Could be wrong, though, because, you know, my kid played through high school, and I don't know. I think they still did the obligatory little forward little pass before they would kick it back to the midfielder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like
I noticed it on my kid level, but then I happened to be by Walter Johnson High School, and there was a game going on, and they did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know when the rules changed.
It's wild. And you watch college football on Saturday, and they're doing the old school kickoff. Then you watch the NFL, and they're doing that weird thing.
I'm still not. I can't get used to it.
I'm used to it now. I've adapted. Yeah.
I mean, I'm I'm used to seeing it, but it's still weird.
I haven't seen any of these big plays that they're hyping up that are going to come from the new dynamic kickoff.
Well, I mean, the guys are still kicking it out of the freaking
net.
Where are they kicking off from? Are they kicking off from the 30?
I think it's the 30, but I'll double check that.
They're going to have kick off from like the 20.
Yeah, they're just
too
strong.
Maybe the 10.
It looks just so strange.
Didn't a Temple kicker hit a 65-yarder this week?
I don't know.
I believe it was.
Maybe it was 64.
They kick from the 35 in the NFL.
They need to put it back to the 30, so we get. But see, the thing is, they don't really want returns. They're trying to limit.
Yeah, they're trying to minimize the damage and the contact on that play.
But they should put it back to the 30, so we can actually see some exciting football. This is butt boring to see these guys just boot it out of the end zone.
Just abolish the kickoff. Everybody starts on the 25 or the 30. Let's just do
maybe
away
they're
with
getting
it.
To that point.
I mean, we're getting closer to it.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I don't like to diminish
Mitch would come in and punch me in the face if you heard that take. But
yeah,
I
like special teams. I'm not trying to eliminate. It's an aspect of the game that I kind of like.
Yeah.
But I like them to return it. You know, I don't like it to just be kicked out of the end zone every time.
But it's game day. It's game day.
It is two Monday night football games.
Yeah,
not one,
I know.
Two.
You got the double headers.
Gotta love that.
Oh, Brandon Aubrey hit a 65-yarder too.
Yes.
For the Cowboys.
Yep.
That's the guy that was in the XFL or whatever the heck he was in.
He was a soccer
dude. How are you going to keep track of not one but two Monday night football games tonight, Mr. Bickle?
Well, I don't care about the other one.
You have to watch Jags, Bills, and then you have to watch your Commanders, Bengals.
Who was the one that played soccer at Notre Dame, but he was in the XFL or whatever? It kicked like a couple big long ones. That's where he got all the attention.
Is that Bates, who's with Detroit?
Okay, that's it.
Aubrey went to Notre Dame.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's Aubrey. One of them. Doesn't matter.
It was he played for Toronto FC.
Right.
And then Bethlehem Steel FC.
Right. But he also played like minor league football for like a year or two.
Birmingham Stallions.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the one whose wife saw a field goal kicker on TV when he started working a regular job and said, you could do it.
I think that's the same guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the guy I was talking about.
He drilled
shouting me down.
Too bad he can't tackle Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson. Because
nobody could.
Nobody on the Cowboys could do that yesterday.
The NFL is so unpredictable.
Can you imagine
the survivor pools that were just the eliminations?
I think I'm with you. Like when you were like, oh, I'm never doing a survivor pool again after week one.
You literally
like,
have to be able to predict the
future. That's a little bit rash. But like nobody would have thought that the Bucs would just lay the biggest, stinkiest egg ever against the Broncos at home. They did. Like nobody thought the Niners would lose to the Rams. The Rams are depleted.
Raiders,
they have no offensive linemen.
Loser.
They lose.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you 70% of those entries were.
I think there's less than 2,000 people left in the circa pool. It might be less than like 1,300.
The only way you could convince me.
After 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The only way you could convince me to get back into a survivor pool is if we pooled our efforts, like that guy that called in, where they had like 20 guys.
Yep.
And they chopped like six entries, seven entries, whatever, and it really wasn't that much. And then you can really narrow it down and maybe have a chance.
Well, the only way I'll do it is if someone pays for it.
You wouldn't do a group
somebody
where you got
rolls.
A bunch of entries?
Oh, so
see,
I put
a
like,
bunch of entries.
I put like 10 bucks in? Yeah, maybe.
Well, those guys put 300, I think.
No, I'm not doing that. It's just a waste because you're going to lose that too.
Well, we put 250 for one entry, but 300 to have like six or seven. I like that.
Yeah, just
like
yesterday, 931 entries took the Browns. Loser. A bunch of people took the Bucs. 17% of the field took the Bucs, and 13% of the field took the Raiders.
Why would anybody take the Raiders?
Because they're playing the Panthers. But nobody expected.
They didn't expect Andy Dalton to look like a
bounce
Hall
that
of
Andy
Famer.
Dalton gave them for at least 1 week.
This, of course, came on the heels of Cake saying Carolina might not win a game this year.
Well, they look totally different.
The caveat was if Bryce Young continued to play quarterback. If I didn't say that before, I meant it. That's what I meant.
Right.
Go to the tape. I said Andy Dalton is at least a capable NFL quarterback.
Of course.
I definitely said that.
Well, they look like a totally different team. Well, I was listening to that game as I was driving.
But no one thought he would put up crazy numbers.
He's the first quarterback this season to throw for 300 and three touchdowns in a game.
He had three touchdowns in the first half, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to that game as I was driving, and the announcer just said the offense looks totally different with him. Like he's throwing downfield.
They're functional. They're a functional offense.
Totally he looked different. Competent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Bryce just looked.
And the Raiders. I mean, please hang your head in shame, Raiders. You are terrible. That was the That was a team I used to love. I used to hold near and dear to my dark, cold heart.
Right. Does it still hurt a little bit?
No, doesn't hurt.
Doesn't sting at all.
No, you're over it.
I just saw them getting annihilated by a bad team. I was like, wow, the Raiders, you guys stink.
So fill us in on HF Festival. You were there on Saturday, yeah, at least early.
It was good to be back at HF Festival, considering I think the last one we attended in any sort of official function was like maybe 2005, 2006. It was at Nationals Park. Got started around noon, 12:15.
Mm-hmm.
All of the old HFS DJs got introduced to the crowd.
You should talk to Bob.
Talk to Bob Waugh. He was kind of like the ringleader, keeping everybody, you know, like on schedule for like the announcements before the bands and the onstage
Tell
work.
Me some of the HFS guys that were there, the old announcers. Which ones?
Oh, well, I mean,
the Weasel. Was the Weasel there?
The Weasel. Hold on. I don't think I saw Weasel. I saw Rob Tim. Uh-huh. Saw him. Saw Maddie. Talked to Maddie for a bit.
Is he still What's he in been the business? Doing?
He's down in
North Carolina. And he's still in radio.
Yes.
All right.
Still
good.
In radio. Who else did I see? Bob Waugh, of course.
What about Tim Virgin?
Tim Virgin did not make it. Did not see Tim Virgin. I saw, who else did I see? Let me go. Robert Benjamin, our old
How's he doing?
Ops manager.
Is he still in the
biz? Yeah, he's more like a consultant now. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, that means you got all the dough and you just work whenever you want. He's basically like, yeah, pretty much.
Good.
Saw our old boss, Phil Zachary, who was our big boss here for a while at Odyssey.
What's he doing?
He is working up in Rhode Island. Mm. Also,
like, radio lifers.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of radio lifers get together, is what it was.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was good.
Lisa didn't come. She didn't make the trip out.
Did not see Lisa Warden. I mean, did not see her.
Who was the first act?
First act was Lit.
Mm-hmm.
Second act that I introed was Tonic.
All right.
And I sleep a little bit on Tonic.
Tonic's got some good songs.
I was sitting up in the suite. We were up in the Silver Slugger suite, which is very nice, which the Nats provided for all of the HFS alums to hang out in during the event. I was like, Tonic's got... They got some bangers. Yeah. They were second on the bill. And then the Violent Femmes played.
Okay.
They were fun. They're not for everybody, but they're good entertainers.
How old are some of these?
They're old. Like
that's a kind. No, no. It's a kind statement.
They're a good live band.
They're not for everybody.
But they're a little weird. They're just, yeah. But you know what? That fits with
HFS. I think my buddy Tom likes them, I think.
Yeah.
Let me go on.
Yeah. Of course, Blister in the Sun. Of course,
play that. Why should you do like that?
They got a lot of hits.
All heard that at like sorority parties.
They were fun, and then my HF Festival day came to an end when Girl Talk came on. But I heard that he basically was stealing the show up to that
point. Hold on, who?
Girl Talk is a DJ.
Okay,
and he was up there, wicka wicka wicka, and
were people going crazy.
And people were loving it. Yeah. But at that point, I was walking back to my car, so I can't give you any sort of update as to how the rest of the bill went. I think Jimmy Eat World was after them.
Oh, nice.
And then still to come after that was Bush.
So we're in your car at about 4:15.
Yeah, about that. There were a lot of people still streaming in when I left. Yeah. I was like, people are coming for the later, portion of the show. And Incubus still hadn't played, and your closers were
Bush.
No, I think
Death Cab for Cutie and Postal Service closed out.
They were the closers.
Yeah, but I would have to get somebody else's update, somebody who stayed a little bit longer. But it was good to see all the old faces, and look, everybody's just they're getting older, So it's good to like see people that I hadn't seen in literally 20 years.
Good.
Some of them.
Good.
Some of them I'd seen more recently, but good to reconnect with people that I probably won't see for
all
another
those guys
20 years.
Are well. The lead singer for Tonic is our age. He's a little bit older.
Yeah,
I think it's Emerson Hart. I think that's his
they
name.
Were good. They impressed me.
I'm just guessing a lot of them. They just looked a lot older.
The bands.
Yeah, they just looked like old dudes.
Of course.
Yeah. They're all in their late 50s, early 60s, probably.
Yeah, it's a nostalgia play.
Yeah.
It's for great. A lot of those bands.
So big concert day for the Junkies because I went to Jelly Roll on Saturday night.
Ah, very good.
I'm not a country fan, but my sister-in-law is a huge fan. Took the Metro there. Got to thank Jim Van Stone. Mm-hmm. He set me up with the tickets, which
he's
were regular tickets, but he was like, hey, if you want to get some food, just stop by the Monumental Suite.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that and got some food. And we did not stay for the whole show. My wife and I and Isabella, my sister-in-law and her two boys stayed for the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
But a late night concert, not the right venue for a 7-year-old. Yeah. She was melting down.
Of course.
We had soccer games earlier in the day. I was like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
But I did watch some of Jelly Roll. Mm-hmm. He's impressive. A sold-out show.
Yeah, good for him.
He's still enormous, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was. Remember, he was going to lose a bunch of weight, and he was going to, like, walk a marathon or something. Yeah, whatever happened to that?
I'm not sure.
Must have slowed down.
He did some covers, which were good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I recognized the covers more than his songs. He was like, this was my first number one hit. Yeah. Hadn't heard of it. I've heard Save Me.
Uh-huh.
I've heard a couple of his songs.
Yeah.
One thing that was impressive, he had a lot of people on stage. Like, he had three, I don't know if you'd call them gospel singers, mm-hmm. like behind him. He had, I think, three people on guitar. He had a keyboard. I was like, man, there's like 12, 13 people on stage there with Jelly Roll.
Dude, he's a big-time star. He is a big-time star at this point.
Sounds to me like a lot of checks he's stroking, too. He's got a lot of overhead.
He's got a lot of overhead, but he's got a lot coming in.
I think he's doing okay.
He's selling out Capital One. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got a lot coming in.
Good for that dude.
So that was a non-Jason night because I think I got off the metro around 11:15, and then actually drove Jess and Isabella back home and then came back to the metro to pick up Gail and her two boys.
Oh, jeez. So you were at home by midnight?
About midnight, yeah.
Late one.
Jelly Roll. I don't know how much those guys make. It's amazing when you see a sold-out show. And they're selling t-shirts.
Oh, the merch. Yeah, just the merch is kill. They kill on the merch.
He might be stroking a lot of checks.
Yeah.
But I think he's doing okay.
Oh, I think he's doing great. He's got a lot coming in.
I mean, he's doing TV commercials for Amazon. I mean, the guy couldn't be more mainstream.
Yeah. When you do a sold out show like that, do you think he's bringing in personally?
Yeah.
$500,000?
I don't know. At least a couple hundred grand. And then that might not even be counting the merch.
I don't know. It's hard to know. For an arena, probably not the same as stadium. You know, I think Taylor Swift might make a million or so.
Yeah.
Oh, she was making way more.
She's probably,
like, I think her stadium dates were averaging, like, her gross was like 8 or 9 million per show.
Mm.
Now that's including her merch. Or her merch lines are like a half a block long or longer. They're absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was the opening act was a country singer, female artist. I don't even really remember her name. But she said, hey, you can meet me in section 115 between the second act and Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
And my 7-year-old was all fired up. I was like, oh, I want to meet her because she said she was going to give out hugs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the line was wrapped around the arena.
Just a bunch of horny dudes wanted hugs. That's all that is.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm getting woman. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a woman.
Yeah.
All right, it is a game day, and we have Mo Egger on the show. He's an afternoon host on ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, so we will get the Bengals' perspective. Of course, they're off to an 0-2 start, desperately need a win against the Commanders. He'll join us at 8:20. We'll talk to our pal Scott Abraham, sports director, anchor for ABC7 at 9 o'clock as we get into Commanders-Bengals here on the Junkies.